A recent expedition over the deep waters of the Arctic Ocean is giving scientists new insight into how polar bears exist in that extreme environment. An icebreaker equipped with a helicopter made it possible for biologists to capture bears for the first time in the middle of the Beaufort and Chukchi Seas last fall. The data currently being analyzed from the trip will make it easier to predict how the species will respond to climate change. APRN's Annie Feit reports.
The biologists knew the ice would be thin in the Arctic Ocean in October, but just how thin? That was a bit of a surprise.
For example, sometimes a bear would walk on the sea ice and you could see it undulate like a waterbed. So it's that thin as the bear moves over it.
Eric Regeer is a biologist with the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. He's collaborating with the University of Wyoming on the study. 2009 recorded the third lowest level of Arctic sea ice. Besides that, Regeer says October was unseasonably warm, and that made for challenging conditions as the biologists worked to recapture 10 bears that had been fitted with GPS tracking collars near Alaska's North Slope last spring.
So whereas polar bears have big feet like snowshoes and can walk on thin ice and are experts at judging which ice is safe, we're not. And we had several biologists and a helicopter attempting to work on that same ice. And in many cases, we'd find a bear and be able to observe it, get a look at it, but not be able to capture it safely because it was on ice that was just too thin.
In the end, the biologists were able to recapture 4 of the radio-collared bears. They got tantalizingly close to 5 others and took measurements and blood samples on more than a dozen bears without radio collars. Bears so far north in October are waiting for the sea ice to reform and bring them back south over the productive waters of the continental shelf. They should be at their fattest after a summer of gorging on seal blubber. Regeer says the biologists did find healthy-looking bears, but those were mostly single animals. Females with cubs were another story.
Some of the adult females with cubs were very thin, so in poor nutritional condition. And although these are resilient animals and it's hard to predict what will happen to those bears, the chances, especially of those thin cubs making it through the harsh winter, seem quite low.
At the beginning of the icebreaker trip, the biologists located a radio-collared female with a cub in tow. They couldn't capture her at the time, but when they found her again 3 weeks later, her cub had vanished.
Now, in the intervening weeks, there had been a big storm with rough seas. It had really broken up the sea ice, and we suspect that because young polar bears are not strong swimmers, during that time, the cub was probably lost to the mother and likely drowned. And indeed, that highlights one of the concerns about sea ice loss and climatic warming for polar bears, is that when the ice is more broken up and the seas are rougher, smaller bears that are weaker swimmers have a more difficult time getting from A to B and may face an increased chance of drowning.
But Regeer says it was eye-opening for him to see how well the bears did, despite the thin ice conditions. And he says it was fascinating to see the deep waters of the polar basin for the first time. It's a part of the world scientists know very little about. What they do know is that the water north of the continental shelf is generally less productive. But Regeer says after seeing the landscape up close, he understands the real story is more complicated. At one point, he could see 6 polar bears from the icebreaker.
And so for some reason, there were areas out there in this huge region that held great concentrations of polar bears at very high densities. For example, perhaps there was a whale that had been killed or died and floated to the surface, although we didn't observe it. Other areas, we travel for tens and hundreds of miles and not only see no polar bears, but see no tracks of polar bears, no tracks of Arctic foxes, no seals, and no bird life. So there's an amazing amount of ecological patchiness and complexity out there that we're only beginning to appreciate.
This study will help scientists learn just how productive the polar basin might be. Regeer wants to know whether the bears he captured in the region were eating or fasting. That finding will have a big impact on predicting how the species will respond as the ice continues its retreat. And as Regeer struggled to find strong enough ice to capture polar bears, those frustrations also help drive home a point.
It is somewhat ironic that research into the effects of climatic warming on polar bears was, from a practical perspective, greatly hindered by sea ice loss, which is the very phenomenon we're trying to study and indeed is the greatest challenge facing the species throughout the Arctic.
The bears Regeer studied this fall couldn't wait to get back to the continental shelf. He says they were lined up along the edge of the ice waiting for it to reform, like a defensive line preparing for the snap of a football. In Anchorage, I'm Annie Feit.